always good to come to Kruger Baptist Parade, and certainly to be here at a multicultural service. I was born in Scotland, which is that little country above England, Matt. And they told me that's the language that will be spoken in heaven. Anyone else here from Scotland? Right, my son did live in Japan for 4 years, and he can speak fluent Japanese, but certainly when you hear languages and you don't really have a clue what they're saying, it's amazing what the tongue and the brain and communication can do. But it's certainly, I think, for all those people who shared their gifts and blessing us all this morning in song. The lady from Samoa said, I think she said, white man coming from heaven. Every time I see a Samoan, I think they must be a person who came out of a music book. I haven't met one Samoan yet who can't sing. So thank you for sharing your beautiful gifts. What did you say, your mum can't sing? I'm not too sure about that. But there used to be one time where we all spoke the same language according to the Word of God. And certainly I believe the Word of God, and I believe the account in the Word of God. And we're going to read from Genesis chapter 11 very shortly. But about 4,000 years ago, something happened that split the language groups of the world because of something that was happening within inside mankind at the time. And we're going to read about that, and hopefully we're going to learn about that as well. So let's turn to the Word of God, and we will read from Genesis chapter 11. And before we read it, can I just thank you also? I know there's people here who have labored many years in this community, and I always say, I don't think there's any greater organization or organism on this planet than a church that's been obedient to its head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of denomination, if the church, which is his body, is being obedient, it will have a great effect in the community where it's planted. And thank you for those who have labored here for many years. Thank you for those who are new and are laboring here. And I know the mayor was here in Easter time, and he told me he was very impressed with what's happening down here at Kruger. So thank you. So let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. Heavenly Father, I do come to you, and I do pray that you'll speak to us all through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the accounts that are written. What we are told and what we're not told, help us to have trust you and have faith in you, and to be obedient to you. So we ask you to speak to us now through your Spirit, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, Genesis chapter 11, it says, now the whole world had one language. We wouldn't be having this service this morning, would we, if that was the case? But it was great to hear those in a different tongue praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over the whole earth. And they stopped building the city. And that is why it's called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the whole earth. So that's the account from the Word of God, why we certainly have languages on this planet. Of course, all those descendants that were there at Babel, they certainly came from Noah's three sons and his wives, you know, Shem, Ham and Japheth. And it's Bible scholars believe they could have been 500,000 people around about that time. It was 100 or 200 years after the flood. And they were all there. And they came to this plain of Shinar. What were they told to do in Genesis chapter 9? We'll read that very shortly. But this is what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, everything that was written in the past was written to teachers. So this story in the Word of God that we just read is written to teachers. So that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So let's see if there's things in that passage that we often read in Sunday school and maybe teach in Sunday school. But what are the lessons in there for us? Well, let's try and unpack that passage. Genesis chapter 11 verse 1 says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. Well, why wouldn't they? They came from, like I said before, the three sons of Noah and their wives. They were all there, like I said, 100 or 200 years after the flood. But Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, let's remind ourselves what God said there. God said there, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. So that's what they were told, and that's what God's plan. Verse 4 in chapter 11 of Genesis now said, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So here they are. God said, go into the earth and multiply and be fruitful over the whole earth. But what did mankind say about 100 or 200 years later? They said, well, let us stay here on this plane called Shinar. And just out of interest, that plane of Shinar is what became Babylon. So when you read about this story, some people say, well, they were building this because this is only 100 or 200 years after the flood. That would be maybe in memories, and it would have been certainly in storytelling about the huge flood. It was still very fresh in their mind. Many scholars were saying, well, they were building that in case God sent another flood, they would be safe. But I'm not too sure about that. Because if you were going to build a tower to be safe from a flood, would you build it on a plane or would you build it on the highest peak? I think common sense says you'd probably build it on the highest peak. I think they were saying something a bit deeper than that. I think they were saying to God, we'll be fruitful, but we're not going to scatter. We're going to do our own thing. And as you read more deeply in what some Bible scholars say about this, this tower was also to the heavens, and some people believe it was to the stars. So, and on this tower or temple, as some people believe that it was, there could have been inscriptions to the stars and beginning to worship the heaven and beginning to worship the stars rather than the creator of the heaven and the stars. Isn't that a reflection of mankind throughout the world? They'll carve something up or they'll make something and they'll worship the rat rather than worship the creator. So I believe that's what was going on. And brothers and sisters, let's be very careful. Some people live their life by the horoscope. The stars are still with us today. And some people live their life by that. And the Bible says to stay clear of that. And the Bible says to have faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm glad I don't know what's going to happen in my life tomorrow. I'm glad that I don't know what's going to happen next week. But I'm also glad that I can trust in the living God who has created the stars and the heaven. So I believe the problem in verse 4 was pride. That was the real problem in Babel. and is certainly what we call the original sin, which is pride. So verse 4, what did they say in verse 4? They said, come, let us make a name for ourselves. Isn't that a problem with mankind today as well? We've all got that ego, as it were, inside our body. Come and let us make a name for ourselves. God wants us, as His created beings, to bring glory to Him, regardless of what you do throughout the week, regardless of what position that you're in the community. Doesn't matter. God wants us to bring glory to Him and not make a name for ourselves. That's what that was also part of their problem. So they sought to make a name for themselves rather than to honor their Creator. And throughout history, going right back to Adam and Eve, humans have longed to share God's glory. Isn't that why Lucifer was thrown out of heaven? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Didn't he want to share the glory of God? Didn't he just think, I can be like God? And that's what these people around Babel were doing. Basically, the same sin as Lucifer. All man-made religions try to honor God by the works of their own hand. And God desires over and over again in the Word of God, humility and obedience. Do you know, right from the Garden of Eden all the way through to the book of Revelation, God is looking for an obedient people. He was looking for Adam and Eve to be obedient. He was looking for a nation called Israel to be obedient. And today He's looking for the body of Christ called the church to be obedient. And that's the desire of God's heart. And that's what He's looking for today. The Tower of Babel story reminds us how we can all be naturally stubborn and we can all be naturally rebellious. But it's ironic. If we are humble and obedient, God will honor us. It's not the way of the world, is it? God wants us to, the world wants us to puff up our own ego and to feed our own ego. God wants us to empty ourselves of our ego and to be humble and obedient, and God will raise us up. So what does verse 5 say? But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. What can we learn from that verse? The Lord came down and He saw what they were doing. Well, I don't think it's very hard, but I think we all know deep down that God observes all our actions, whether it be individuals, whether it be of a nation, whether it be of the world. God observes our actions. Nothing escapes God's attention, no individual sin, and no sin of a nation. So if I think I'm getting away with something in secret just because the curtains are down and there's no one else and all my family's gone to bed, there's only one person I'm fooling. And that's myself. You're not fooling God. And God wants us to be transparent. And He wants us to be obedient, like I said before, because nothing is hidden from God. So God came down, He saw it, not happy. Verse 6, the Lord said, if as one people speaking in the same language they've begun to do this, build this great tower, then nothing they plan to do with will be impossible for them. What can we learn there? I learned there God has given mankind incredible gifts. Everyone in this building, He's given incredible gifts. We saw some of them on display here this morning. Some of you will never see because you're not up here in public, but you're out there in the community, out there at work, and you're using your gifts. I think it's amazing that mankind can send a rocket up, knowing that this comet's going to be coming somewhere at some time, and then send down a little probe from that big rocket they put up, and then land on that comet that's been zooming through space for who knows how long. That's incredible, isn't it? I think it's incredible that mankind can send a telescope up there called the Hubble telescope, and they can look through space and they can take pictures that just blow my mind. That's incredible. God has given us incredible gifts. I don't know if anybody here has spoken to anyone who's walked in space. Has anybody? Well, I have. Not so long ago at USQ at Springfield Central there was an astronaut who was coming to speak on a particular issue. I was there to welcome him on behalf of the city. I've got a little card here that he signed for me. So he gave his talk and basically said the only reason NASA's sending people up into space is why? Can anyone tell me? Is go to the space station. That's the only reason now they're sending people up to space, to go to the space station. It's not to land on the moon. It's not to go to planets at this stage. And that's the only reason. And he's been there a few times. And he's walked in space. So I listened to his story with like a sponge and sitting there like you are listening to me. And at the end, we were chatting. I welcomed him to the city. And I just said, look, you don't have to answer this question, but I'd like you to. I didn't know whether he was a Christian or not. And I just said, when you were up there, did you think it all just happened? Or did you think there was a creator and a designer? Because it's not every day I get to someone who's been up there and walked in space. And he said in his American accent, he called me sir. He said, sir, before I took off, I believed in the Creator. And when I was up there and walking in space, it just resolved my belief even stronger that there was a Creator. So God has given mankind, the Creator of the whole universe, fantastic gifts and ability, and He wants us to use them in obedience to Him. So God said, they're speaking the same language. If they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible. So what's the lesson there? God has truly given mankind incredible gifts, and He wants us to use them all for His ability and to glorify His name. So verse 7 says, come, let us go down and confuse their language. And we can testify that today. God did not allow man's rebellion to run its full course. God stopped the rebellion in its early stages. The people said, let us build a tower. And God said, let us confuse their language. It's interesting there. When I think of creation, and when I read the Word of God in the earlier chapters, in chapter 11, there's only one thing I read of that is made in the image of God. And that's mankind. God said, let us make man in our image. Made all the other great things that we see and we enjoy. But when it came to mankind, He said, let us make man in our image. So does God look like you, me? Does He look like someone from Africa or someone from Samoa? I think it goes far deeper than that, personally. The Word of God, as you read it, the Word of God teaches that you and I are a triune being. What have we got? We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Can they be separate? The Word of God says they can. Yet we are one. And yet the Word of God, when people say, well, David, how can your God be three, yet one? Well, God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Are they one? Are you one? Yes. Can they be separate? Well, we know they can. Because Christ Jesus, the Son of God, separated Himself from the Father and became down. So when I say that because when it says, let us confuse their language, and in creation it says, let us make man and let us do this, God is a triune God. And we are made in His image, and we are a triune being. If I go to Samoa, if I go to Africa, if I go to Asia, or go wherever on this planet, mankind is reaching out, just like these people of Babel were. They were reaching out to reach God in their own way. And there are people around the world, they'll carve rocks and they'll worship that. They'll have little shrines and they'll place shrines in front of rocks or trees or images or temples all over the world. Is there any other part of God's creation that does that? Do you see cows doing it? Do you see monkeys doing it? Do you see anything else? No. Why? Because we are made in God's image. We have a spirit that reaches out to God. Some in the wrong way, but through Jesus Christ, who God sent His Son, is the way. So God wants us to come to Him His way and not in false ways like these people in the Tower of Babel were doing. Verse 8 says, so the Lord scattered them from there to all the earth. So was God's will eventually done? Yeah, God said to go out and scatter. So they weren't going to do it. So God stepped in and they were. So God will accomplish His will is the lesson. Sometimes we may think we found a way to get around God's will, but that's just an appearance. God's will be done. As parents, do you ever sing a song or a Sunday school, He's got the whole world in His hands? He does. Some of the songs we sing in Sunday school and to our kids, they're truths, they're deep truths. And a contemporary, they're probably not so contemporary anymore, they were contemporary when I was a teenager. So that was a long time ago, a group called Petra. They were from the United States and they sang a song. And they said, He's got the whole world in His hand tonight. And only He knows where the sparrow will land tonight. And nothing in the world's going to stop His plans tonight, because He's still got the whole world in His hand. So we look out there and we see what we sometimes think is chaos. God's will be done one way or the other. And it was done here at Babel. And in Proverbs 21 verse 1, King Solomon wrote this, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse, wherever He may please. So even King Solomon, probably the greatest king who ever ruled on this planet, apart from the King of Kings, of course, he said, even the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. And He will direct it like a watercourse, to go wherever He pleases. So God's will be done. God wants us to turn to Him rather than relying on ourselves. You know, one day, it's God's will that today, in 2016, that everybody will bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's His will. It's His will that all would come to Him in repentance. But do they? No. But Philippians in God's Word says this, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God's will be done. So verse 9 says, that's why it's called Babel. The city became known as Babel, relating to the word confusion. Their rebellion was to be unified in their own ways, not God's ways. So God used the confusion of language. And of course we know what's happened and we've seen some of the fruits of that this morning. So I hope there's some lessons there that I can be reminded of through God's Spirit, and you can be reminded of through the Word of God. But I'm not going to go on to read the next verse. We'll stop there. But the next verse does start the genealogy of Shem. Who was? One of the sons of Noah. And through the genealogy of Shem, guess who came into the world? Abraham. And through Abraham, guess who came into the world? Christ Jesus. So God's will be done. So read that yourself. The history of Shem's family becomes the focus of the remainder of the Old Testament. So after that, I mean, there's many things that could be written, but as we read before, there are certain things that were written for our learning, and most of the next things from then on focuses on the genealogy and the lessons through Shem. So God planned that all nations will learn of the Savior Jesus Christ, who would descend from Abraham. So God is patiently fulfilling His plan to call people to His eternal city out of every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And you know what the Word of God seems to indicate? That one day we will all have a new language. And we will all speak the same tongue. And we will all be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And blessing and honor and glory, as we sang this morning, to the Lamb. With the one tongue. Wouldn't that be great? Will it be Scottish? Scottish seem to think so. Will it be Samoan? Will it be, who knows? It'll be something. But it'll be one tongue when God's will be done and will be fulfilled sometime in eternity. So Zephaniah says in the end, Zephaniah 3:9, and this is from the Message translation, "In the end, I will turn things around for the people. I will give them a language undistorted, unpolluted, words to address God in worship." God is still patiently working out His plans, even though we can't always see how. So let's not try to get to God in your own way, through works. Of course, we should do good works. That's the fruit of our faith. Or through building, or through worshipping this, or worshipping that. Let's come to God through obedience in the work and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His work is perfect. He is perfect. And God wants you to trust in Him and put your faith in Him and turn from the way you may have been living and turn to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God teaches that word is what's called reconciliation, being reconciled back to God through Christ Jesus. And that's the only way. Not building temples, not building towers, not doing whatever you might think is the way. So let's pray, and let's hope the Lord will speak to you. And continue to read that passage. If you don't have a daily plan for your Bible reading, read Genesis 9 again and keep going to the end and keep working through. Father God, we do thank You for that all things are written in Your Word for our learning. We thank You for the lessons we can learn from Genesis chapter 11 and reading from about the Tower of Babel. Father, help us all. Help me, help everyone here who's listening to be an obedient person, an obedient servant, an obedient disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You for these people here who labor for You in their faith, in their hope, in their love, and I pray that You will strengthen their faith, their hope, and their love in the Lord Jesus Christ and for each other. So we do commit ourselves to You for this week ahead of us, and we do it together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.